The current unemployment numbers are so mind-blowing that it's literally hard to wrap our minds around. The sheer numbers of jobs being lost, industries being decimated, and people in extreme financial duress can't be understated. At the same time, we're hearing this terrifying financial news. We're also hearing from people who own businesses, work for others, or would like to live their lives as normally as they can during this time. Then we're hearing the opposite argument about business, which is now is the wrong time to sell. What is a person to do if they're ethical, they're trying to eat, they're trying to pay bills, they're trying to help other people, they're trying to help themselves, and they don't want to be a douche? This episode tackles how to sell your products during the COVID-19 pandemic and step up for yourself and others during this difficult time. In order to get to the show notes, go to michellesmoneyhungry.com/how-to-sell-your-products-during-COVID-19. With your blog, vlog, podcast, or online community? Do you keep getting stuck on getting started and aren't sure where to begin? Make sure to grab the free toolkit, Do It Ugly, today. I've made thousands of dollars launching my products ugly and refining them as I went along. You can do this too. The Do It Ugly toolkit shares how to get started with your new digital product and how to get started making money online with that project. Perfect doesn't get paid, done does. Text the following phrase, money hungry, to extension 66866 and get ongoing access to all the free resources that I share with the money hungry community. For those of you who sell products as a side hustle or as your main source of income, things right now can feel really confusing. You've probably heard the following: everyone is broke, no one is buying, you're insensitive for trying to sell something. What in the hell are you supposed to do? For those of us in the U.S., here are the numbers. There are 325 million U.S. citizens, and at this point in time, 30 million of those citizens have filed for unemployment. That means that 30 million people have no idea what's going to happen with their money. Likewise, there's 295 million people who have some source of income. Who knows what? Maybe it's work, maybe it's retirement, maybe it's a mix. But there's still 295 million people out there who seem to be doing okay. The reality is that most entrepreneurs, most smaller entrepreneurs, just need to connect with a very tiny fraction of the population in order to make enough sales to make a difference to them and to their community that they're serving, especially depending on the type of business or product that they're selling. By the way, I've been crazy broke during previous recessions, plural, including one where I was supporting my mom and myself on part-time Starbucks money and student loans. And by the way, that part-time Starbucks money, I was making on average about $9 an hour with tips. So I get what it's like to be flat broke. It sucks. And I want to be clear about that before I go further into the show. But the reality is the following. Money is always flowing, but it's flowing differently. And I want to credit my friend Amanda Abeya from Persuade to Profit for that quote. Real talk, there will always be people with or without money. It's just the truth. And I've been that person without money many, 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 many times. But there is an art to selling your goods and services during hard times, during a pandemic. And if you're getting pushback, people are getting pissed at you for some reason, there are some actions that you need to take. The first one is you need to figure out what's pissing them off. It might not be what you're selling. It could be how you're selling. The first step is check your ad copy. Check what you're saying to people. And copy is basically the language that you use to market your goods and services. Please do not use your family members for this unless it's their job to market products and services. If their job is not that, Do not talk to them about the ad copy or the language that you're using to sell your products. You want to talk to your audience to see what is it that's turning them off about the language that you're using. Fortunately, this is a very easy thing to do. You could literally just ask questions on social media. If you've been curating enough content on your social media pages, whether it's Twitter or Instagram, what have you, Facebook, then you should get a few people who might say something. You could be like, hey, I have a question about this. I use this phrase and I'm not sure why the feedback was the way that it was. Could you help give me some insight into this? Now, you need to have some tough skin because you may be surprised by what people will say, but I think it's an important thing to do because if you're getting pushback and it's not necessarily your product, it's what you're saying. And it might be how aggressive you are or just timing. It doesn't matter. You have to talk to people in order to get why they are responding in the way that they are. Next, who is your avatar? Are you just selling to sell things to anyone out there on the street versus selling to a well-defined and well-thought-out set of people who would be absolutely attracted to the goods and services that you have to offer? So an example of this would be, I don't eat keto foods. In fact, I literally cannot understand keto. Like, everything about it confuses me. So pitching keto products to me is a complete waste of time. I don't want to do ketosis or whatever is happening with that. Like, it's nothing in my life. I am not the clientele for that. Like, I am not the person who needs keto products. So if you're selling me those and I'm like, hey dude, like, that's just not for me, then you're wasting your time. You're wasting mine. And it's a targeting issue. So in order to avoid that issue, do a couple of things. Find the communities where your ideal client exists. So if you're a keto foods entrepreneur, then you should be in keto communities, keto diet spaces, like anything with keto, right? It seems common sense, but people get this wrong all the time. Another example, and this is a slightly different one. The other week I was in a very large podcasting community and a person in there was upset because they wanted to just market their show, right? And I should say this comes up a lot in podcasting communities where podcasters in a podcasting community are like, we just want to share our show. And it doesn't make sense because podcasters in a podcasting community are in there because they have a mutual interest for podcasting. They may not care that your show is about Firefly. They may have no idea what Firefly, the sci-fi show, not the bug. They may not know what Firefly is about. So if your show is about Firefly and you're marketing your show in a podcasting community, that makes no sense. You should be in communities where people do cosplay and go to Comic-Con and talk about Firefly. Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't, you have to take the time to figure out where your target audience is for the product that you're sharing. Even if it's a podcast, it's a product that you're developing and creating. So like with this show, I would not go into Firefly communities to share Michelle is Money Hungry. It makes no sense. So spend some time being thoughtful about where you should be sharing what you're selling before you share it. Also, make it very clear who you are and what you do via your social media profiles. Every once in a while, you just need to like do a social media profile audit, just as your business changes, as your products change, that kind of thing. You want to make sure that they're up to date. I just did my LinkedIn profile that took forever, but it was a good thing because it was very outdated. I will be looking at my Twitter and Instagram profiles just to make sure that it's very easy for people to understand who I am, what I do, and how to get in touch with me. It's the same thing for you as you sell your products, goods, and services. Make it easy for us so we don't have to guess. Create a tagline so we don't have to guess what it is you do. For Michelle is Money Hungry, I love helping people sell what they already know. That's what I love. I love helping people sell what they already know with a little asterisk online. So I want you to sell what you already know online. And yeah, that's like my thing. And that's why I have so many interviews with people doing that same thing. There's a reason. B, Be of service. That's the other thing. So you can be of service regardless of the type of business that you're in. It could be that it's part of your mission. It could be that you're doing something kind that day, whatever. Be of service as well, because it's helpful to your future customers. Now, the other question is, are you selling what people want right now? Like, you got to ask yourself that. Like, is what you're offering making sense for the times that we're in? Here are some examples of what I mean and some great pivots that people have done, or their product is just really well suited for the time that we're in. My friend Crystal Hammond from the business So Fab, that's S-E-W, So Fab. I have a link in the show notes. She teaches people how to sew. And before, she was teaching people how to make like these really pretty skirts and blouses and just bags. Like, she just has so much fun, and she was running in-person events because a lot of times it's helpful to do that. And we had all pushed her. We're like, you need to teach this online. Like, this would be helpful for those of us who don't live near you. So I think she started doing that. But the other thing that she did when the coronavirus outbreak occurred was she started teaching people how to make face masks. And then she started making pre-made masks for those of us who are too lazy to make our own. So not only did she teach other people, but she also sold masks that she pre-made. I should mention she made $1,000 in 4 days because of that. So again, she was selling a different kind of thing. She was selling skirts and bags and things like that, teaching people how to do that. And then she used the same exact skill and just changed the product a little bit. That's it. And it made her money. Kayla Sloan, creator of the 10K VA course, she teaches would-be virtual assistants how to get their businesses up and running, as well as attracting clients. The interesting thing about this business is I think that it's going to get very busy for her moving forward, because we have the entire American population having to work from home for the last 2 months. Some businesses might be like, wait a minute, this worked out. This is kind of good, minus the pandemic. This, you know, we don't like that part, but they could be like, we could save money on having an actual retail facility or office, like commercial space. And in saving money on that space, maybe we hire on more administrative help. So right now, I think she's very, very well positioned to help people make money as virtual assistants. The other thing is, there are people who've lost their jobs who are like, oh my God, we've lost our job. There are people out there who are infectious. They don't even know. We don't have enough tests. Not even being political, like, this is just the truth, right? We've got 325 million people. That's a lot of people to test. So they might be like, this could be a career for me where I can serve businesses, I can make good money, and I can do it for my house. So 10K VA is a very good example of a course that translates into being a tool that works really well for now. A local paint company here in Denver shot a commercial showing a family safe inside their house while making the point that when they paint their paint people's houses, they're on the outside, and helping them keep the homes beautiful is kind of what they said. And what I loved about that commercial was a couple of things. They showed respect for the current social distancing trends and just the fact that we have to social distance. They shared that they were a business, that they still were in business, and that this was a service that they offered. Now, you would think that obviously, like, painters paint, like, that makes sense, but maybe people are still feeling a little nervous about getting work done. And this might be a gentle reminder, like, hey, we respect that you're worried about this. Let us stay, like, you stay inside nice and cozy. We got the outside. We'll take care of things. And I loved this commercial because it made me feel like they understood how people were feeling. Great commercial. Restaurants. Right now, I'm seeing a lot of restaurants pivoting to allowing their customers to call for pickup or delivery orders. There are a lot of people who do not know how to cook, and have no desire to learn how to cook because it's a skill set that is not, they are not going to learn how to cook, right? And there's a reason why HelloFresh and Blue Apron are so popular. But there's a difference between using a service like that and having a service created by a local restaurant that maybe you always were a patron of. So there's a local restaurant in my town that, and there's several actually who've done this, by the way. But the one that I'm looking at, they are producing not only pre-made meal kits, but they're also creating grocery boxes, and they have different tiers. So there's a $20 grocery box with like veggies and fruits and things. There's a $30 box that also comes with two alcoholic beverages that they pre-mix for you. So that's a great example of businesses understanding that they're going to lose business once things reopen. Like being at 50% capacity for your business as a restaurant is a problem. It's a huge problem. Like they really need full capacity. So how do you get business on the back end? Like how do you serve your clients where they're at? And a lot of restaurants that I've seen in Denver have gotten this right, where they're like, okay, we got to figure this out, and we got to figure this out quickly or else we're out of business. And it's just is what it is. Tools or content products. There are these are the products that allow people to do things faster, trains them in a skill quicker, or has been created with the idea of making some aspect of their life better, easier, you know, more manageable. So my Make Money with eBooks course, the whole point of the course was to help people get all the information and tools that they needed in order to get their eBooks done. Like that was the whole point of the course. And people bought it and it was great. And I love my course. And there are a lot of products and tools and resources out there that people are still buying. Maybe they have the time now, like as painful as it is, maybe they have time now to take a course. In fact, when I worked at the university, I used to work at a university during the last recession, during the Great Recession, and we were booming because so many people were going to school. This is not an unusual trend, actually. Like I can guarantee in the next year, the rate of people going back to college or getting some kind of education is going to shoot through the roof. Because what else are you going to do? You're going to have to retrain, especially for those people who've worked in industries that really will take a while to rebound between now and the next couple of years. Another area where people are still buying and something to consider is treats. Like people like to treat themselves, but you may not necessarily want to go to like the nail salon or to get your hair done. Some people will, but there are other people who won't. And for them, there's some interesting opportunities, like some businesses that are doing some interesting things. Color Street, which is, I think, a multi-level marketing product, but we're not going to get into all that. But Color Street and Manny Me, I'm really excited about. Basically, those are self-applied manicures, and they're so cute. They're so cute. I am obsessed with Manny Me. Like, I can't even explain how obsessed I am. And that would be something that I would purchase. Likewise, romance books. I also write and sell romances. They're really fun. It's like the random thing that I do, but it makes money. And my sales are up. So happy about that. Sales are up. So remember that people will treat themselves. And in fact, when I was crazy broke, I would go for a coffee. I might buy a like inexpensive thrift store romance book. Now it's my Amazon eBooks, but I totally did that. And I think people forget that people still make spending decisions. Maybe for some people, the money is really tight and their spending decision is not to spend. That's fine. That's not a customer that you need right now. They need to prioritize other things. And that's perfectly fine. Again, I was broke for how many years? I was not supposed to be spending on these things. That was not my moment to do that. That's just how it is. You can't worry about that or feel guilty. It just is. It's just reality. It's life. Also, don't get in your customers' wallets. I heard this once from Letitia Stiles, and it really stuck with me. The idea is that you don't know what people are going to prioritize financially, personally, professionally, and honestly, it's not your business either. So you can present that you have these different goods and services. They can say no. They can say yes. It is not your job to monitor their yes or no. It's just, this is what I got. Okay. That said, I would encourage a couple of things. Do create tiers to your offerings so that people can work with or purchase your goods and services at an investment level that works best for them. Here's an example of how my products are tiered out. I have free content such as my blog and podcast. I still make money with these things, but for the listeners or readers, they're positioned in such a way that you're not going to be paying for it. It's free. I also run webinars, workshops, and participate in online conferences as well. So I do a lot of free content where I just share stuff. Totally works. Totally, it's fine. Because I was a customer at one time that could only afford free. And then there came a point where I would side hustle so I could pay for something more. And then so on and so forth. So this is what I want you kind of think about. Then I have inexpensive products. So I have both fiction and nonfiction books. Right now, those books range in price from 99 cents to $3.99. By the way, I only have one book at 99 cents, okay? Because I don't really believe in that low a price. I have another book that was released in January that I'm updating. That book's probably going to be $9.99 to $11.99. So that range is going to be from 99 cents to probably $11.99. Very, very, very inexpensive products for people to consume. I'm launching a membership community. I'll talk about that later on in the show. That's the founding members launch price is $37 a month. And I'm very excited about that. It's very, very affordable. I have Make Money with eBooks, my course, and the courses range in price from $197 to $647. Love, love, love that course. And by the way, I am putting that course on hold. So you'll have to go on a wait list if you're interested in taking the course. I have business coaching, which ranges between $14.97 to $17.97. So basically, you can meet me where you're at financially. I have free to high ticket price offerings. I feel happy as a clam about that because you do not have to go broke working with me. Likewise, if you've got the cash and you have the time, let's do it. Let's do this, right? So when you're building out your business, think about the different points that your customer's on and their journey with you. So another example, actually, of a wonderful client journey, Tiffany the Budgetista Alice's journey with her community. A lot of the women years ago were really working on their finances, just getting the foundation healthy. Then once they were able to do that, they were moved through her different tiers of offerings. It's an amazing example of how people can serve and be of service and have different priced offerings and meet people where they're at. So she literally has moved all of her community along with her. There's a lot of different people out there that I could share who've done that. So again, have different tiers in your offerings if possible. If you have a service, it could be that you just have an upsell. Even with a restaurant, like restaurants have upsells all the time. So I go to Starbucks, it's a coffee shop, get a coffee. They're like, would you like soy milk with that? I'm like, that's like another 50 cents. or if you have an extra shot, that's an extra dollar. Or if you would you like a scone with that? That's an upsell. You do that in all businesses. So maybe you have something that starts low, but you can upsell people as they're ready. Something to consider. Side note, I've continued to email my romance email list weekly since the shutdown. They are wonderful. I love that list so much. And I get responses after every single email that I send out, and my book sales have gone up. So my point is, don't be afraid to be in business. Don't be afraid to sell, but there is a way to do things. Don't be a douche. I've had a number of conversations with other full-time and part-time entrepreneurs, and they've said the following: sales are up. If you need to pivot your product offering, marketing, do it. They aren't changing their pricing, and they're avoiding giving deep discounts too. Many people who've spent time building a healthy email list and an online presence and community, quite honestly, are really well positioned at this time to sell. Just don't be a douche, like I said before. Don't pretend the pandemic isn't happening. It is. So in my family, one of my cousins, who's a nurse, got the disease. She's a nurse. She's around people who are ill all day long. It's hardly surprising. This could have gone either way. She's young. Who knows how that could have gone? So it's very scary. So I think entrepreneurs not saying this is scary, this is something we're aware of. We realize that maybe someone in your family has been affected. Maybe you have too. You've got to say something. If you don't, it just seems weird. I'm going to be honest. It's just weird to me that you wouldn't bring it up. Also remember what it's like to be a customer and that customers have a choice. They can always say no to whatever it is you're selling, and they can also say yes. 50-50 chance. For the past couple of years, I've focused on helping entrepreneurs sell what they already know. It is one of my favorite things to do to help encourage, inspire, and engage with entrepreneurs who are nervous about putting their products, goods, and services out there into the world. One of my favorite ways to support content creators is to help them write and sell their first ebook in order to elevate their brand, make passive income, and assert their expertise. In fact, you could say that I'm obsessed with ebooks and self-publishing in general. However, the longer I ran my self-publishing course, the more I started to discover that there were certain issues that kept coming up over and over again for the authors. Perfectionism. So some of the students still were afraid to start and needed some more coaxing and support from me and the course community. Like they just had these ideas in their mind that kept them from starting. And so they needed more time, and that was okay. Self-doubt. Some writers had people in their lives who put down their book idea, and they needed more time to work through how that made them feel. Like, can you imagine sharing this cool idea that you have and someone just shooting it down, and you're just like, wow, it took me a lot to even share this with you, and this sucks. So I noticed that, and that negative feedback that some people received really affected their ability to start. Time. Many of these would-be authors had limited time but needed ongoing support and accountability in order to get their books done. They also needed more time to engage with the content that I was sharing with them. So there are people who love taking courses, and then there are people who need more time. And they take the course, but they're just like, dang, you know, like I really wish I could have more time and this could be a little slower. Totally makes sense, because we all have different learning styles and different paces that we work at. And finally, fear. I started noticing that the closer students got to completing their books, the more the next steps in their self-publishing journey felt kind of overwhelming to some of the students. So I was like, how can I help people with this? And I started brainstorming, and I started thinking about what would it look like to have a space where future authors are supported through their writing fears. Future authors can work at a pace that really works with their current life and still moves them forward and moves them towards getting their books finally done. What would a space look like where future authors were a part of the community that uplifted them every time they engaged with other writers? No negativity allowed ever, period, end of story. And also, what would a community look like where future authors were connected with experts throughout the year who helped break down the craft of writing, how to market their books, SEO, email marketing, and more? Here's the thing, the community I'm dreaming of doesn't technically exist yet. So I've decided to start it, and I need your help as I put it together. Oh, and another thing, I'm starting it next week. So yeah, like, you know how I am. I like this. I get stuff done. So if you are interested in the Make Money with eBooks Academy. I would love to hear from you. You can email me at michelleismoneyhungry@gmail.com, or you can DM me on Instagram at michelleismoneyhungry, or you can send me a DM on Twitter at Mitch Loves Money, M-I-C-H Loves Money. Links are in the show notes, but I am so excited. I'm putting together the Make Money with eBooks Academy. I'm going to need your support and feedback on this. I would love for you to be a part of it. I think it's going to be a great way to foster, encourage, and support authors out there. Like I said, I love, love, love self-publishing. I'm obsessed with it. It's been such a blessing to me, not only to meet the other authors out there, but I'm gonna keep it real. The money is great. And there were some months where I was making hundreds of dollars and other months where I made thousands, but every month I've made money. And there are certain takeaways from what I've done that I want to share. And I am so excited to put this community together with your support. So please, again, email me if you're interested at michelleismoneyhungry@gmail.com. DM me on Instagram at michelleismoneyhungry or DM me on Twitter at @MitchLovesMoney. And I hope you don't feel nervous to sell what you have to sell. If you're in business, if you have a product, you have to get it out in the world. Please stay safe, wash your hands, be kind, and I'll talk to you later.